Holly, I said yesterday that I wanted to speak a little bit on the Jewish feasts. And the Lord placed this on my heart. There are seven, really probably eight, but seven main Jewish feasts. And, of course, the first three is Passover, and which is a spring feast. And then, of course, after the Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which I won't go into. Then the Feast of First Fruits, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow morning. And you don't want to miss that, by the way. The Lord just gave me incredible revelation. And it was required for three of the feasts that everyone would have to come. All the men would have to come to Jerusalem for those feasts. And for Passover, for Pentecost or Shavuot, and for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the fourth feast, by the way, was what I'm going to speak on tonight, the Feast of Shavuot, Shavu, or however you pronounce it in Hebrew, as far as I'm concerned, it's the Feast of Shavuot, but or the Feast of Pentecost, and I'm sure you guys know what Pentecost is. The winter feast is Rosh Hashanah, followed by Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and then which is followed by Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast that was celebrated with the Jewish people and the Gentiles, and really represents the millennial reign of Christ. The Bible says that these feasts were to be a convocation. In other words, they were to be dress rehearsals. And we know that the first three have certainly been fulfilled, and also the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost has been fulfilled. Okay, so I want to look at the Feast of Shavuot. And something happened to me a while back, and I'm going to try to do this. I hope this works. I prepared a PowerPoint so you guys can kind of read along as well. And, excuse me. And I remember that some years ago, I think it was maybe 1 or 2 years ago, I can't remember the time exactly, and I don't particularly think the time is important, but it wasn't that long ago. But I was having trouble going to sleep. And so I decided to get up and spend time in prayer, which is always a good thing to do. And as I was praying, I had a vision of mountains. I mean, this is insane, you know, but I had a vision of this mountain, and the Lord said it's Mount Sinai, and with the children of God encamped around its base while facing the mountain. Now, it's interesting that the children of God were camped around the mountain, and they were what? Facing it. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the Bible tells us that we are to, in fact, let me just read you the scripture. If you look at Hebrew, and this is not on the PowerPoint, which I put the wrong stuff down, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verses, I think, 1 through 3, I just read that. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. So all of us have a race that we need to run. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, God's into that, and He's going to help us in that race. And then it says in verse 2, something rather interesting. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so the Bible says for us, we are to, like the children of God, to look to Jesus. They were to look to the mountain. They were encamped around it. And we'll talk about what that word encamp means in a minute. But they were literally to look to the mountain. And what it says is that we're to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? Because we need to run with endurance the race is set out. And yet when you do that, what happens? You start to live for God, and right away opposition comes. Problems come. Accusations come. Fears come. Temptation comes. Every manner of blooming thing you can think of begins to happen to you. And then you begin to question, well, maybe I'm not hearing from God. And the enemy begins to pull you back. Through deception, he tries to pull you back from running that race. But we need to understand and remember that, what does it say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Do you think it was easy for Christ to go to the cross? Can you imagine the things that went through his mind? Can you imagine the battles that he had to contend with? But he did it. And I want to tell you today, these are the ending of the last days. We're now there's a convergence of prophetic events that are taking place. We're no longer in the last days, we're in the last minutes. And I mentioned this yesterday. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in Isaiah, and I just flat forgot the scripture, so you have to excuse me. But it says that the moon will be brighter, and it will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be seven times brighter. In other words, the brightness of the sun is going to increase immensely. Now, by the way, let me just say this, that when we're talking about the sun getting brighter, obviously it reflects on the moon, and the moon's going to get brighter. Now, that is a picture of the light of heaven increasing. And light always represents revelation. And what it says to you and me, if we are setting our face towards the author and the finisher of our faith, it says that light is going to increase in us, or in other words, revelation will come that we've never seen before, or never fully understood before, and things will become clearer for us, and the Lord will help us in running that race and dealing with things that you're having to contend with. Don't be put off at all by those things that oppose you. Can you say amen? We are not called to a time of political correct. What a lot of blooming nonsense that is. It is absolute nonsense. Oh, you might offend somebody. Offend them. Yeah, offend them. Anyway, sorry, Pastor. Your problem after I go. And then I just read this last bit. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Don't become discouraged in your soul. Don't quit. Don't give up. That'll be a crazy thing to do. And incidentally, I just want to say this, and this has been coming to my mind during the song service, of all places. God just speaks to you, you know. And I was reminded in considering this, running the race, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, I was reminded of Goliath, who for 40 days in the morning and the evening came down and spoke to the army of God, God's people, and to the king. King Saul, where was he at? Hiding in the blooming tent, of all places. And so the word Goliath means he who speaks with an energized tongue or an energized voice. In other words, the things that Goliath was saying were not just everyday words. They were demonically energized. And there are times that God will speak to you with an energized demonic voice. And it grips you. It has a hold on you. It's going to be overcome. You know, the thing is the enemy always wants us to compromise. He always wants us to compromise. But you can't compromise. And so what, King David comes, the shepherd guy, and he comes and he sees what's going on, and he gets the Holy Ghost on it. Now, how old do you think David was when he went after Goliath? 11. Who else? Anyone else? Two more? 17. Anyone else? 12? No. He was between 27 and 28. Yeah. Because the Bible will tell you, if you read it, you will find out that King Saul, his reign lasted only 2 more years. And David was king. And David became king at the age of 30. All right? Then we just have to have a better understanding. When God speaks to you, the word comes alive. And you see things you've never seen before. So here's King David. He says, "We don't have to, hey, what's wrong with you boys?" To his brothers, "What's wrong with you guys? This, he's just some Philistine. He's a devil. We're called to destroy those devils. Hell's more afraid of you than we should be of it." Do you really believe that? Do you? I believe you do. And so the Bible tells us, what did David do? He went to a brook. You know what a brook is, right? It's a flowing water. It's like a little river. Now, firstly, what does water represent? Anybody know? Yes, sir. God bless you. You get a star. Water represents the word of God. What does running water represent? No. Obedience to the word. So when you talk about the river of life flowing from the throne of God, the word in the Greek is, it's the river of noemus. The Greek word is noemus, and it means truth, or literally the Torah. But the word, it means Torah, but it also means truth. It means the whole word of God. And so there's a river that flows. It's a flowing river. It's the word, and we're to get in the river, right? You're talking about that. If you get in the river, what happens? Well, you only get into it as you obey it. God wants truth to come into us, and He wants to fill us with what? Truth. He wants us to obey the truth. He wants us to be obedient to truth. You know, Christianity isn't some lame duck kind of thing. Oh, yeah, you know, feel good, and then you walk out and you live like a devil. No. Of course not. It means there's a changed life. And God begins to work in us and work in us. And I want to tell you, you know, we need to have some real Christianity. Some real Christianity. And I tell you this, I don't think we need to have a revival. We need to have an awakening. That's what we need. And that's what they had in the Hebrides move awakening, or the I don't know if you know about the Hebrides revival. Anybody know about the Hebrides? Okay. The Hebrides move of God is where there was a great move of God, and it was President Trump's aunts that through praying, they were old, they were in their 80s. One was bent over, she couldn't hardly walk. Another one, you know, had a problem. And so they started praying, and people started joining them, and they said it was like a light came down from heaven, and the place glowed in the dark. And God began to move. And the mother, there was a young guy there who was a cousin of these aunts. His name was, I'm getting right off the subject, but that's okay. He was a cousin. His name was Donald. Young guy, got saved, began to live for God. He became prominent in that move of God and began to be used and for all kinds of stuff. He was one of the main people. And so when Donald Trump's mom, because most of the people, the young men there had been killed in World War I, when they'd come back to the Hebrides, they're 1 mile offshore, the boat sank, and about 200 of these men from that area drowned, young men. And so what happened? Her sisters moved to America because there wasn't any men. And she eventually went to America. But I want to tell you, that move of God, when they were praying, touched. The Bible says not only does a curse go down to the fifth, tenth, or the generation, or even 100 generations, but I want to tell you the blessing goes down as well. And so when the mother of Donald Trump, in America, she married a guy called Fred, who was a German guy. right? Trump. Fred Trump. The first person that she, I think the first person she gave birth to was a girl. The first two, I may have this wrong. But when she got pregnant with Donald Trump, she named him Donald after the young guy who got saved in the Hebrides revival. And that's where Donald Trump's name comes from, by the way. And Donald Trump means ruler of the world. That's what his name means, world ruler. And I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot more to President Donald Trump than people realize. And the battle that's going on right now is not political, it's spiritual. I don't care for you, what you are, but we need to pray for the president and believe. The battle that's being fought now is a spiritual battle. And the manifestation is spiritual. How did I get on this subject? My son told me, don't you dare. Dad, this is a good sermon. Make sure you don't get sidetracked, because I know you. Stupid little kid. He's 27, but what the heck. So the people camped around the mountain. And he says, you face that mountain. And then there's something very interesting. I don't know if you've read this, but God gave instructions to the people not to touch the mountain. Do you know that? I'm just going to read this to you because some folks kind of see on about. But if you read Exodus 19:12, it says, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. So what is God saying? Well, he's saying this. You know, here's the problem with people. You know, they become so familiar with God that they just, there's no more fear of God. And they touch the things of God, and they make something holy, try to make it unholy. You can't touch God. God's word is God's word. And so all these people now are compromising the gospel because they want to have large churches or they don't want to be upset folks. We aren't here. The issue is we're called to stand for Christ. We're called to stand for the word. We're called to be in the river. We're called to obey the word, to live by obedience. And if you do that, you're going to upset folks. And if they get upset, so what? If the devil gets upset, so what? Remember Eve? She got deceived. She wanted to satisfy a carnal yearning within. And she ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was believed that that was an olive tree. That's what I did a lot of research. And, you know, I'll tell you something else. They recently have discovered a burial box in Israel, in Jerusalem, with somebody who was crucified. The bones were in it. And what they discovered was that there was a nail that went through some akashia wood, how you pronounce it? Acacia. Thank you, Mama. Acacia wood is one of the hardest woods because it grows in the desert. And the nail went through the acacia wood and it went into the ankle area and through into the cross, and the wood that was there was an olive tree, was olive wood. And so when Christ was crucified, one foot was on this side of the cross and one foot was on this side. So we've got to make a stand for what's right. And the devil always appeals to us to take the easy way out. To back down from the enemy. But no, David, he said he went to the brook, to the running brook, right? And he grabs 5 pebbles. Out of obedience to the word, those pebbles represent the spoken word. God will give you a word to bring down the enemy. And he takes one of those stones, he puts it in the old sling and lets that baby go. And it hits Goliath right in the head. And then he cuts his head off. Now, I don't know if old Goliath was knocked down. Goliath was believed to be between 9 and 10 feet tall. So here's a big old boy. You know, bigger they are, the higher they fall. But it didn't bother David whatsoever, because his faith was in God. He had a word from heaven. You come against this Philistine. You come against this devil. You bring him down. And I want to tell you, there's some devils here that the Lord wants you in your life to bring down. And he will give you the word to bring him down and then cut its head off. One of my friends, when I was in the Air Force, I think I mentioned this last night, he loved to have drugs, you know. I can't remember all the stuff he was taking. But he grabbed all of his drugs and he flushed them down the toilet. Well, that cost him something. But he told me it was the price that he paid for those drugs that helped him to overcome future temptation. I had a time in England when we started our first church. I preached on the occult and how we need to destroy all the things with the occult, whether it's jewelry or books or albums or whatever it was, you know. And I couldn't believe that the next Sunday when people came, we had tons of balloons. We had a great big one of those big round cans, and we built a fire in it and started burning this stuff. And fire exploded and came right out at me. I said, "Yeah, baby." Devil, you might think you're going to try to burn me, but the fire of God's coming on us because of this.
Amen.
You got to stand your ground.
Right.
You got to believe. Fight the good fight. Run the race with endurance. Yeah. Believe God. Believe Him. Don't be a compromising, worthless individual. We have a church down in Albany that's... Look, I love people. I don't care what people have done. I don't care what they're doing. If they want to lift it up, we'll help them. The pastor is a woman married to another woman. I'm sorry, there's a problem there. Well, you're anti-homosexual. Yeah, I'm anti-homosexual, absolutely. But I'm pro-people. The enemy is always trying to get us to compromise because of public opinion. Who cares about public opinion? We need to stand. We need to believe. We need to be an example, a light that shines in the darkness. And the moon is shining brighter. And that is a picture of you and I. God wants us in this darkness. It's gripping the world. He wants you and me to shine like we've never shone before. And let me just say this before I get back to my son. It said, "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed yourselves that you not go up to the mountainside or touch its base, because if you do, you will be put to death." There is boundaries. God establishes boundaries in His Word. He establishes boundaries for you and I. If we're going to live for God, this is what God says we need to be. Well, you're being legalistic. No. Legalism, you do something because you've got, "Oh, I've got to do this." You don't have to do anything. You can go to hell if you want. That's your business. Go out and enjoy life now, but you're going to hell. But if you want to live for God, you're going to live for God on His terms, not your terms. But that's not fair. We don't care about fairness. That's nothing to do about, "Oh, you poor little kitty. Oh, here, just go right back into, here, have some drugs, make yourself feel better." No. You get over it. Flush those things down the toilet. Do what's right. It's time to live for God. And the Bible says what? When Christ returns, He's coming for a bride who's beautifully adorned. God is getting His bride ready. Why do you think there's so much opposition to the true believer? Why do you think it's so difficult today to be a... Why is there a great falling away? because those who are falling away are too afraid, because, you know, we may have to miss Uncle Ben on TV or whatever they're watching. God forbid you miss that baseball game or that football game or that basketball game. Get your priorities right. Live for God. Do what's right. Boundaries were established by God. You know, that's why America is a nation. I am an immigrant. I came here from England. I came with my family because we wanted to come to the land of opportunity. The land of opportunity became opportunity because it was established and founded upon the Word of God. It was literally when Christopher Columbus, who was Jewish, came to America, he was looking for a refuge for the Jewish people. And America became a refuge for the Jews. And there's 5 million Jewish people still here, but they're starting to go back to Israel now. It was established and founded not only with Jewish people, but with Christians, based upon the Word of God. And the blessing of God came upon this nation.
That's right.
Are you going to let the devil take it away?
No.
Stand for truth. Stand for what's right. It's not always easy. God will deal with you about things in your life. Fears, addictions. I have a young guy in our church. He came to me. He's been going to another church, and they threw him out because they had a meeting and where people had problems, they could share it. And he shared that he had a problem with pornography. Well, him and about 74, 78% of the rest of the men in the United States, including pastors. The next thing is the police raided his house because they turned him in because they said he was watching pornography. Took his computer, took his phone, took everything. The pastor had him escorted into his office and said, "Oh, I really like you. You know, you're a nice guy. But, you know, you can't come back to church because if you do, you may cause a split." And told him he had to confess that he had watched porn in front of the whole church. Threw him out. He called me and said, "I'm sorry, pastor. I want to come to your church, but, you know, I can't because, you know, this is what happened." I said, "Well, let me ask you. Were you involved with pedophile, with child stuff?" I said, "I don't care what you've done. What I want to hear is, are you willing to do something about it?" He said, "No." But he said, "I went to a porno site and that this child thing came up," and he said, "I went to someplace else." I said, "Let me tell you something. We love you. We care about you. Now, do you understand pornography is wrong?" He said, "Yes." Yeah. So I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." So good. We'll help you. The church is to be, we used to call it a body and fender shop. It's the place where you bring wrecked vehicles and get them repaired. It's to be a hospital where the sick get treated. I said, "We're here to be a blessing to you, to help you. You can overcome this." And as soon as this pastor found out that he had come and that we were willing to help him, he asked him to come back. I said, "If I was you, I wouldn't be going back there, but you do what you want to do." I will find out. If he does, he's crazy. See, we need to have people. We need to have an understanding. God's dealing with things in our lives that aren't right. Let him deal with them. You know, I learned something years ago. I enjoyed sciences and when I was younger. And there was this thing about sometimes you had to use particles that were cloth or something that had to be totally clean. Well, if it had one small stain on it, it was no good. If you had one little stain or big stain, it didn't matter. It was no good. It was unacceptable. If there was just a small bit of bacteria or a big bit, didn't matter. It was no good. It had to be treated totally. And God's working in us. None of us are perfect. But God's working, and He'll speak to us about attitudes. He'll speak to us about things. And then we need to be like David and go after that stuff. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God has boundaries. America has boundaries. We need to protect our borders. Now, boundaries. And what the enemy is trying to do right now in America, he's trying to remove the boundaries, not just from the United States, but from individuals' lives. Marriage has boundaries. Families have boundaries. Children should have boundaries. And what happened in the 1970s with Dr. Spock there, well, it started in the 60s with O'Hara, when she made people stop praying in school. We used to pray at school at one time. They removed prayer from the school in the 1960s. That led to big problems. And then all of a sudden, Dr. Spock comes along and says, well, you can't spank your children. They were removing the boundaries. Were some kids mistreated? Absolutely. But look at the little buggers. I mean, the little kiddies, the little angels now. That's an English term. I almost... Anyway. people have gone nuts. It's all about me, myself, and I. What's in it for me? Some guy came to our church and said, what can you give a lady? Said, what can you do for us? What do you have for us? What are you going to give us? I said, nothing. What are you going to give us? Because if your reason for being here is just for what you... Well, you can, do you have a Sunday school for our kids? And do you have this? And do you have that? No. What are you going to do? What? God forbid I have to do something. Anyway. Are you prepared to be here till midnight? So as I was praying, I had a vision of Mount Sinai with the children of God encamped around its base while facing... where was I here? Facing the mountain, and there were ominous dark clouds swirling around it, streaks of lightning streaming across the heavens. It was like I was there. It was a quite amazing experience. And at the same time, the earth was shaking and heaving. What does that mean? It means that when we live for God, He's gonna upset us. There's gonna be some changes in our life. There's gonna be some upheavals in our life. There's going to be some earth-shaking experiences that are going to come along. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He'll work it all to our good. We'll be better people in the end. He doesn't quit. He doesn't give up on us. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And I want to tell you, He'll bring it to completion. As I looked, the fire of God began to descend on the top of the mountain until the whole mountain was completely consumed. And all of a sudden, it was as if I zoomed out and the whole thing was happening in the hearts of the believers of Jesus Christ. Then the scene changed again, and I saw tongues of fire descending onto the disciples while they were in one accord in the upper room. The lightnings changed into revelations that the Holy Spirit was bringing to each person. The lightning is like a revelation. God reminds us when we see an electrical storm, we see the lightning, we hear the thunder. God will bring a revelation. And when do you have a thunderstorm? Does it get dark or bright? No, it gets blooming dark, doesn't it? Does it get dark? How many people believe it gets dark? Okay, God. I know my medication makes me forget stuff, and I'm in trouble. It gets dark, and so here in the darkness, you ever go through a dark time? Oh, man, I've been through some dark times. But in those dark times, God will help you. During the blackness, God will help you. During the darkest hour, God will help you. There'll be a flash of light, a revelation from heaven. And then it says this. The lightning's changed into revelations. The Holy Spirit was bringing to each person. And the sound of thunder became the voice of God declaring those revelations. When God gives you a revelation, He will speak to you. Just when you thought you were in a place of total and complete impossibility, you didn't know what to do, and there was nothing you could do, God says, oh yes, there is. Trust me. And He'll show you what to do. So I never before had the realization that there was a connection to the events that happened on Mount Sinai with the children of God and the events that happened in the upper room with the disciples. Not to mention what happens to those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who then desire the things of God. Because the Holy Spirit comes to what? Just make us feel, I got that tingling effect, it feels good. Well, good, I hope you tingle all over. But what's really important is you hear the Holy Ghost and obey His Word. You know, you hear what I'm saying? We're not here for the tingles. We're here for the truth. We're here to obey. We're here to become God's children, God's bride, to be overcomers. And you young guys, man, I'll tell you, I keep seeing you, and just this gentleman over here as well with you, becoming overcomers of the faith. God raising you up for something powerful down the road. And don't you ever listen to the devil and give in to his fears and to his stupid tactics. You overcome him with faith. And the Word of God, bring him down. 85 years old, is that right? Dear God. Gives me hope. Now listen to this. Here's Exodus chapter 19, verse 2. I don't know if you can read. I put that out there so to help you remember. Is that all right? Is that okay? Okay. Exodus 19, 2. Now in my church, I have all the kids who are 4 and above. You know, some kids are too immature, but if they're 4 and they've got maturity in. And I have them read the scriptures for me. Yeah, they all read and they're into it. And I tell them, what are you doing? You don't go, and the Lord said to me, I'm all right. I said, what are you rambling on like that? I said, you know, you've got to give a bit of life into that. When you hit a period, you let it go and you take a deep breath. I said, take a breath. And when you make a comma, you have a pause. I said, so we're teaching them how to read. Now they're loving it. They're excelling at school. And you know what? We have one little boy there. How old is Kibwe? 7. His brother's what? 9, 10, 11, 10. So he's reading, you know. He's doing a really good job. He's, I think, first grade. So going into second, he told me, I'm going up the grade. But he's reading, and he said, what's that word? You know, convocation. What is? And his brother says, convocation. So they're all helping each other. I think kids should be included in the church. I think kids should be included in the music. This little boy, Chinwa, how old is he again? 10. He plays the cello. We went to his concert. There were about 50 of those little boys there. All playing cello, and about 50 playing violin, or more, probably more than that. I couldn't believe it, and I just saw him. He's very autistic, but he started playing. Oh, whoa, dude! It's like, what the heck is this? I thought, man, we should, you know, because we don't have any musicians. We have YouTube as our musician.
In the making.
He's getting ready. He said, yeah, we can do this, Apostle Chris. First thing they do when they come to church is run up and give me a hug. And I tell them if they don't do that, they ain't coming back. Anyway, Exodus 19:2. They followed the route from Rephidim, arrived at the wilderness of Sinai, and set up camp. Israel camped there facing the mountain. Here we go, part of the vision that I had, right? On the third day at daybreak, there were loud claps of thunder, flashes of lightning, right? God speaking to them, revelation, a thick cloud covering the mountain. We go through dark times. They were going through a dark time, but it was an opportunity. A thick cloud covering the mountain, an ear-piercing trumpet blast, or literally a shofar blast. Everyone in the camp shuddered in fear. Hopefully with the fear of God. And what we lack today is a fear of God. God, bring a fear to this nation yet again.
Amen.
That there be a holy fear that descends upon people. That they realize that we aren't, you know, God isn't some kind old man. You know, a Morgan Freeman. He's not a kind old man who wouldn't hurt a fly. God forbid, I love you. I just love, it's okay. I just love. Go ahead and sleep with that girl. Sleep with that guy. It's okay. I love you. You lying devil. No, it's not. If you need to fear God, you need to do what's right. Get married. Do what's right. And then love your wife. Tell her how pretty she is. Tell her how beautiful she is. Bless her. Bias. Just let her know that she's number one in your life. And you women need to get behind your husband. Encourage him. Bless him. Protect him. If you go on YouTube, there's a thing from Britain's Got Talent. The winner of it was this old man. He's in his 80s. Young man. He's a military guy. But he's one of the beef eaters. They wear the long red gowns. And it plays the three songs that he did. And the first one he dedicated to his wife who had died a year before. And it's all about how much he loved his wife and what she did for him. One of the most movingest songs. I told my wife, I sent her the song and I said, this is how I feel about you. It's true. I love my wife. She's had to put up with a lot. And especially recently. But she's been there for me. I thought, wow, I don't know if she's going to be able to handle all this. But she's just a blessing. Marriage is a place where we look after each other. We bless each other. It's not a 50-50 thing. It's 100. Giving you 100%. Not expecting anything. But when both people give 100%, then I tell you things happen. Forgive, forgive. One old man came up on a stage once in 1973. Spring 73, it was called in England. Spree 73, I was there. And I think it was Billy Graham was speaking. And he had this old man, this young man about 85, come up. And he walked up to the podium, looked at everybody, just dead quiet. I was there. And he said, forgive, 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 forgive. Caught his breath for about 2 minutes, and keep forgiving. And he looked around at everybody, turned around and sat down. That sermon has lived in the hearts of our lives since 1973. Forgive, forgive, forgive. There were loud claps of thunder, flashes of lightning, a thick cloud covering the mountain, and an ear-piercing trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp shuddered in fear. Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at attention at the base of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all smoke because God had come down on it as fire. Smoke poured from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain shuddered in huge spasms. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder. Moses spoke and God answered in the thunder. God descended to the peak of Mount Sinai. God called Moses up to the peak and Moses climbed up. The Levites carried out Moses' orders. But 3,000 of the people were killed that day. They were killed that day. Why? Because they entered into idol worship. There was no fear of God in their lives. They began to worship the golden calf. You've got to be careful what you're worshiping. You need to listen to what God's saying to us. God help us. God speak to us. God give us revelation. And sometimes it's through the trials and the tribulation and the adversity and the difficulty that God speaks to us aloud and things get exposed. Yes. Pentecostal Sunday, I spoke this message. And so I told the folks, then I want to take a look at the Feast of Shavuot, which is the fourth of the Jewish feasts, also known as the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ladder Fruits, and is celebrated 50 days after the Feast of Passover. For the Jewish people, it's designated time set by God for God's people to present an offering of the summer wheat harvest to the Lord. The offering of the new grain expressed the joy and thankfulness of the people for the Lord's blessing on their harvest. Now, in the Hebrew, the word feast means this, a set time, an appointed time, or a time listed on a calendar for things to happen. Literally a day and an hour that God has set in place for future events to happen, based upon the Jewish feasts. There is a time that God has for the rapture to take place. No man knows the time or the hour, but God only. We're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets tomorrow night. If I was you, that's the most powerful, one of the powerfulest revelations God's given me. I wouldn't miss it for anything if I was you. It's said that the Old Testament is God's will concealed, and the New Testament is God's will revealed. Therefore, God is revealing to us through the seven Jewish feasts a dress rehearsal of something that's going to happen at an exact time in the future. God has already made a decision for that time. The Jewish feasts are literally God's blueprint for the future and are a part of God's plan for the redemption of mankind. But the closer we're getting, the more revelation and understanding God's given to us. I said yesterday, it's like God showed me a window and I was looking through this window at future events. And the Lord said to me, don't be afraid of what you're going to see. And as I was watching those things through the window, it's like I went through it and I was there looking and gaining an understanding that I never had before. I was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in languages they didn't know. For the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Many godly Jews were in Jerusalem that day for the religious celebrations, having arrived from many nations. And when they heard the roaring in the sky above the house, crowds came running to see what it was all about and were stunned to hear their own languages being spoken by the disciples. How can this be, they explained, for these men are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking all in the native languages of the lands where we were born. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen, all of you, visitors and residents of Jerusalem alike, and those who believe Peter, were baptized about 3,000 in all. They joined with the other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions and at the communion services and prayer meetings. Those who believed were about 3,000 that were added to the church that day. Now, isn't it amazing? At Mount Sinai, 3,000 were killed for worshiping of a golden calf. But however, after the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples, Peter stands up and preaches his first Holy Ghost sermon and 3,000 people are saved. That's quite amazing. I won't show this other video. Anyway, God has a plan. He knows what He's doing. In the Old Testament, Pharaoh, who was a type of Satan, made the Jews his slaves to do his bidding. However, God sent Moses, who was a type of Christ in the Old Testament, to set the children of God free from the power of Pharaoh and to deliver them out of Egypt. Egypt represents what? Self-desires and sin, such as addictions, bondage or slavery, and just about anything else that will hinder you from living for God. The power of God flowed through Moses, crushing the 10 major gods of Egypt. The Egyptians, there were 10 major gods that they worshipped. And every plague that came defeated every one of those plagues in order, every one of those gods in order. And so the power of God flowed through Moses, crushing the 10 major gods of Egypt and bringing every false demonic god and idol down, because those gods have brought the people into bondage, slavery, and oppression. The oppression of slavery, the bonds of iniquity, and the chains of bondage were utterly and completely decimated. Remember, God will always use a man or a woman to flow through and to move through. God's looking for people to move through. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be a preacher for God to move through. God wants to move through each of you. He wants to use you. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe you need to pray for somebody who's not feeling good. But I tell you, God's on the move, and God can bring healing. He can bring deliverance. And I dare say, during these meetings, there can be some folks that are going to get healed. And I rebuke sickness, and I rebuke pain this night. And discomfort. I release God's miracle power in this place. The power of Pharaoh and the power of Egypt was utterly overcome and crushed through God's miracle-working power through Moses. In like manner, the power of the serpent and the power of sin was overcome and crushed at Calvary through God's miracle-working power through the shed blood of Jesus. 50 days after the children of God crossed the Red Sea, God brought them to Mount Sinai, and it was there He was going to give them something they had never had before, that was the written Word of God. That Word is written in our hearts. It's written in our minds to help us. And God wrote the Ten Commandments in stone And then he wrote it in the hearts through his Holy Spirit. He writes his word in our hearts. Mount Sinai was a great mountain that was set up in the wilderness. Now around 2.5 million people have come to the base of the mountain. And God told them that anyone who would touch the mountain would die. Why? Because the holiness of God was in that mountain. And now the mountain was shaking beneath their feet. The sky was getting blacker and blacker until it becomes as black as ink. Fire is now descending from the top of the mountain, and bolts of lightning streaming across the heavens, followed by the loud rumblings of roaring thunder. Then when things couldn't get any worse, they could hear the sound of celestial trumpets being blown louder and louder, followed by the voice of the Almighty God. He wants us to experience that as well. Within our lives. And he says, "Here I am, the Lord your God, that brought you out of the land of Egypt, now the land of slavery." This was the one time they had heard the voice of God. And this was the first feast of Pentecost and was an elaborate rehearsal for the feast of Pentecost that was taking place many years later in the book of Acts. The whole thing was a dress rehearsal they kept until it was fulfilled. They still keep it to this day. The first feast of Shavuot or Pentecost was initiated at Mount Sinai to install a holy fear of God and to establish a revelation of who God was. In the New Testament, the feast of Pentecost was a revelation of who God was to the church, and it was proof that Jesus Christ had now sent His Holy Spirit to empower His people to live in obedience to His Word and to establish heaven on the earth. Let me just say this. I was praying in the Holy Ghost once, and God spoke to me very clearly. He said, "Chris, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm praying in the Holy Ghost." He said, "No, you're not." I said, "Well, I am. I'm praying in, you know, words I don't understand. I'm praying in..." He said, "No." He said, "You're praying from memory. You know, there was a time this was alive and you it came out of your heart and there was excitement and the Spirit of God was energized and you were praying in tongues. But then after a while you began to listen to yourself. And now you're just going through motion." Which is why we need to be revived, why we need a fresh outpouring. Otherwise, our Christianity just becomes mundane. And we just begin to go through emotion. A method. And nothing changes. You know what the word abracadabra means, right? Hocus pocus, I mean. Nothing changes. Yet God wants a people that are changing. We need to hear the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and enact the Word of God. God wants to use you. I'm so glad the testimonies I've heard of people, how you've been bringing people to church, how you've been sharing with folks, been praying for folks and testifying to folks. I think that's you don't find churches that do that anymore. There's not many. But God's raising up His people today like never before. I feel so encouraged. I think I've said enough. I think the big mistake was the video I showed accidentally. Can we have about 5 minutes more, you reckon?
Yeah.
Are you guys still all right?
Yeah.
Okay, no one's throwing rocks at me yet, so I'm okay. So the first feast of Shavuot or Pentecost was initiated at Mount Sinai to instill a holy fear of God and to establish a revelation of who God was. In the New Testament, the Feast of Pentecost was a revelation of who God was to the church. It was proof that Jesus Christ had now sent His Holy Spirit to empower His people to live in obedience to His Word and to establish heaven on earth. You know, I keep seeing, I look around, I see your heart, and I see the fire of God coming down. You know what I'm saying? And I see you going through difficulty in the future and maybe even now in the black. But you know, in that, God's going to bring revelation. God's going to speak to you. And you'll never be the same. And a fear of God will come like never before. God's going to help you. He's going to help you. We do what we do because it's right. Because we're here to please God, not for God just to please us. We want to obey God, not because we have to, because we want to. You know, when people start doing things because I've got to, that's religion. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. You know, like I said in the beginning, you don't have to do anything. You do it because you want to. I want to go to heaven. I want to be used by the Lord. I want to please Him. Matthew 16, verse 18, you are Peter, He said, a stone upon this rock I will build My church, and all the powers of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever doors you lock on earth will be locked in heaven, and whatever doors you open on earth shall be opened in heaven. See, the rock was Christ. And what does He say? I will build My church, and the powers of hell will not prevail against it. The powers of hell will not prevail against you any longer. You've got to rise up and believe. You have the power. You know, it's in the darkness that the revelation is released. It's in the hard times the revelation is released. There's a commercial that just came out. I preached this sermon, and then about 2 days after I preached it, there was a new commercial that Volkswagen came out with. And it showed this guy who was a designer. He was designing a new van for Volkswagen. And he was really, it showed him really, you may have seen it. He was really struggling and nothing. Then all of a sudden, boom, like he said, a light came on. And all of a sudden he designed this new Volkswagen bus, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if you've seen it or not. But the caption is, in the darkness, there's always light. I thought, holy cow. Play on words to... The good, gracious, you know, in darkness, there's always light. And if nothing else, you don't remember anything else. Remember this, in darkness, there's light. Remember the revelation. Remember the lightnings. Remember the thunder. Remember the fear of God. Don't treat the things of God. Don't minimalize them. And that's what the church world is saying. It's minimize the Word of God. Honor God. Honor His Word. Have a healthy fear of God. Obey Him. Know that when difficulty comes, that He's getting His bride ready. That He will bring revelation, a light to your life, and show you the way. And you will defeat hell. And you will defeat the enemy. And you will defeat the devil. And you will defeat every strategy he's made in the fires of hell. He'll defeat every strategy. Every demonic strategy will be brought down and be destroyed. Because greater is He that's within you than he that was in the world. Okay, I'm just going to just read this and then I'm done. Moses goes up the mountain and meets with God, and God gives Moses the Ten Commandments written on the two rock tablets. Two rock tablets represent the Word of God of the Old Testament, written by the finger of God on rock. And secondly, they represent the living Word of God in the New Testament, written by the Holy Spirit in our minds and hearts. I don't want you to forget that. Lastly, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. But this is the new agreement I will make with the people of Israel, says the Lord. I will write My laws in their minds, so that they will know what I want them to do without My even telling them. And these laws will be in their hearts, so they will want to obey them. And I will be their God, and they will be My people. Today, we are a people of God. How many people believe that? Say that, I'm a people of God. God's with me. He'll help me. He loves me. He's my Heavenly Father. He's watching over me. He's directing my footsteps. He's looking out for my best interest. And when the going gets hard, He kneels down, opens His arms to receive me, to love me, like our Heavenly Father, like a father would love his child. And let me just say this, those arms that are outstretched, you know, there's a scripture that says he's a hedge of safety. Yeah, God is like a hedge of safety round about us. That hedge of safety in the Hebrew also means angels around us. And the angels, when we have a hedge of safety, the angels, there's like angels around us that are facing outward to protect us. He places a hedge of safety around about us. And let me just say this. When God puts his arms around us, the picture is of his arms, like thorns on the outside, if you'd like, that the enemy can't come near. See, those thorn bushes would keep the wild animals away. And his arms of God around us is like angels ministering to us. And we're coming into a time and have entered into it where there's going to be so much angelic activity that I don't know if it'll become commonplace, but it won't be unusual to experience. I was done some time ago. But I hope this helps you. I hope this encourages you. He camped around the mountain. Do you know what the word unity, the word camped means? It means unity. When they were camped together around the mountain, it means literally they were unified together. God wants us to be in unity. He wants us to be encamped. Camped in his presence. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Seal these things to our hearts. Seal these things to our lives. We thank you. You're just such a good God and a loving Heavenly Father. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, seal these things to our lives. Lord, touch every person here. Help them to receive something. Lord, let the words of men be washed away, but let your word be sealed in our hearts this night. Accomplish our purposes. Help us to be in that river of life in obedience to your word, knowing that you're with us.